Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. HRN is food radio supported by you. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
This episode is brought to you by Roberta's, home of Heritage Radio Network for 10 years. Learn more about Roberta's at robertaspizza.com.
Welcome, everyone, to Life's a Bank. Come on now. Leave it in.
I'm not used to this gentle whatever. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I was going to, since Easter was yesterday, lead this like a sermon that you love because you're so religious. So
I am.
Again, welcome, folks and friends, to Life's a Banquet, a religious podcast about animals and zombies with me, your host, Dracula, dead and loving it.
And me, Dracula, and Nicolas Cage's Dracula.
You know what? I think that looks good because I will watch anything. Yes, yes, it looks good. I'll watch anything Nicolas Cage does.
Everyone is stupid and they're just, everyone's so sad about the state of America that the movies that come out, everyone's just like, this looks fine. Like well, the Barbie movie does not look good to me. And everyone's like, it looks so funny. And I'm like, no, you're just desperate for something that's like whimsical to take your mind off the fact that the world is disgustingly horrible.
Well, you know what? What's so bad about that? In this same vein, I'm going to let you know right now that I saw the new Scream movie the other night, which was so fun, but very, very bad.
Yeah.
The point of this is that there is a character in the beginning of the film makes a character. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Yeah. The kid who like is like the killer in the beginning, he stabs that woman in the alleyway.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
looks a bit like Armin.
He certainly does, yes.
And I was curious if it was Armin. Armin is our producer and questionable. He might be a murderer.
Yeah, he could be. We don't know. But yeah, that part I actually liked.
Yeah, it started strong and really, really dissolved.
I feel like it was fine until the very end. And then we realized that whatever his name is, Dermot
Mulroney
is a horrible actor. How did we go this whole time without knowing that?
That's exactly what I was saying to the person that I went to go see it with. I was like, Dermot Mulroney is one of those people who's just like a complete, no offense, Dermot, if you're listening, but a complete accident, like, because he has like no talent as an actor. And we knew this from My Best Friend's Wedding, which is a great movie.
Is he bad at that? I think that you just don't even notice because he is like, you know, it's Cameron and it's Julia and it's Rupert, you know, and they're all such great stars. So like, you don't really even notice him at all.
I don't like to say this about anyone, but I feel I have to, because we have to, you know, we're truth sayers here.
Yes.
We're truth seekers. Dermot Mulroney is a bad actor. That's just it. I don't know. I think I could do it just as good. I know this is annoying when people say this. Dermot will probably say that, you know, he's done a lot of method acting. He's, you know, studied with Stanislavski, but it doesn't matter because at the end of the day, he's just not a good actor. He has no talent at all.
Also, his name is Dermot, which is like not even a name. It's like in between three names, like Kermit, Dumont. I don't know. Desmond.
Well, just speaking of movies, before the show started, I was mentioning that you look like you could be the star of the 1990s classic, The Pelican Brief.
Mm-hmm.
Again, with Julia Roberts.
Which I don't know if we've discussed this on the podcast before. We probably have, because we only talk about 17 different things spread out over months. But in that movie, there are so many car bombs, like more car bombs than you would expect. Like not as many as perhaps like a mob film, but definitely more than you would expect from like a 90s rom-com, which is what The Pelican Brief is.
Yes, it's a rom-com. But, you know, I love a good 90s John Grisham film adaptation, like The Firm or whatever. There are others.
Of course.
Just, like, not thinking of right now, but like that was such a time in cinema. We don't really make movies like that anymore, because they were like action movies, but they were like kind of simple, right? It was like a not a thriller. Such a big deal. It's, yeah,
the time of the thriller is over, right? Like, when was the last time an actual thriller came out, erotic or not? You know, just like a regular old like sort of mystery to be solved, but also danger and running and pumps. Right.
Lots of humping, and like that didn't have to be quite so, like, you know, when you see it wasn't like Jason Bourne or something and everyone had to be right. Like sliding under cars and this is blah, blah. It was just like a kind of simple movie. I mean, this isn't a 90s movie, but like all of the French Connection, like just a kind of fun,
yeah,
like, you know, chasing, running, like Gene Hackman vehicle.
Yeah, there's also, you know, like, it was such a great time for the thriller. Like, Deceived is one that's really bad, but it's Goldie Hawn, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And I watched that a lot when I was a child. And yeah. She has some great outfits in that, for sure.
Or a courtroom drama we don't see a lot anymore.
Also, the 90s was the era of, like, those scenes in the old-timey elevators with, like, the, you know, the...
Yes.
Zigzag thing, metal thing that goes across the door, and then you have to get in it, and it's, like, that's in... Deceived, that's in Single White Female, that's in a million other movies I can't think of right now.
Single White Female, great movie. Yeah, what happened to, I mean, those are dangerous. You can get your finger caught in them very easily.
Yes, especially if someone's chasing you. But yeah, I really miss those elevators, and we should bring them back.
Yeah, that's what we are running on this fall. People, if any... Do you miss zigzaggy, dangerous finger-closing elevator grates? Well, if you do... This button's for you.
Yeah.
Nicole, you just sent me something that I briefly looked at. Let's talk about it.
On food and wine. I'm in this, maybe I'm in denial because I am in middle age, but like there's just like this period. There's so much is going on right now for people in their, my age, around my age, of like nostalgia, throwback shit. And
yeah.
Even in the show Yellow Jackets, which I like, I don't love it. I find it just like a little bit pandering that they have all these like scenes about with music from the 90s, and it just kind of bothers me. And this is the same sort of thing. So this is a bucket hat. This is foodandwine.com on Instagram.com telling us that you can now own the Pizza Hut like chandelier light thingy. In the form of a bucket hat. And it's an exact replica of the Pizza Hut, like stained glass, but on a shiny bucket hat. And I find it to be so stupid.
Agreed. It would be less stupid if it was actually made of glass, because to wear a glass hat, you really have to want it. You know what I'm saying?
If it was an actual glass hat on an ass hat, I would love that. I would
glass hat on an ass hat. What about a glass ass hat? Mm-hmm. So it's like a glass... ass, but also a hat.
Sure. Sounds great.
That's what I want for Christmas. Okay. Listener, please start blowing it now.
Yeah, I'm just like, it's, and the whole point is like, you know, now that these people are in their 40s, my people, you know, they allegedly have more, you know, disposable income because they're, if they follow the train of what life is supposed to be like, they'll have a couple kids, they'll be in like mid-career. Mm. They'll have two incomes in the home.
Who are these people? I don't so know the opposite of this person.
I don't know these. Well, I mean, those people live here in Indiana, although I mostly hang out with people 10 years younger than me because I work in a restaurant. But anyway, it's just like, I don't appreciate it. It's like really heavily mining the nostalgia to the point where it just becomes like, it makes me just sort of feel nothing except for irritation. And I'm just like, leave it alone. Give it a rest. I'm not going to buy more crap because it's, although I did almost buy a throwback igloo cooler because it has built-in speaker and it's really cool.
And it's functional. But like, I mean, I guess like part of the issue is right that it is very weird to live in a time when there's like not a whole lot of like new classics, right? Like it's like we've had things that have been established as maybe being like classic and nostalgic, but we're not really building anything new that's of value that we're going to look back in 25, 30, 40 years and be like, remember when Shake Shack had like, you know what I mean? Like a green neon sign. Like there's no, like similarly to, and not to be like too complainy, but it kind of almost in a way, like maybe this is like a left turn, but it reminds me of like how they just don't make any nice buildings anymore. Right.
Oh my God. It's so grody, the buildings that they make. I hate them all.
Right. So it's like, it's sad because then you're just like, oh my God, old buildings, so beautiful. But there is no reason other than capitalism, obviously, and corporate greed that like you can't just build nice buildings still. And they could then age in the same way and be like, you know what I mean?
I was talking to someone about this. It is so much more expensive though to build like with the same quality of ingredients, the same quality of materials that they've used back then, because it was just cheaper. And so in order to build a similar building that was built in like even in the 50s is just so much more expensive. So rather than trying to figure out that issue, they just make disgusting little cardboard houses that are so ugly and beige.
Right. Or like instead of trying to figure out the issue of like, hey, I'm a developer. I don't have to make $45 million off this project. I can make $1 million. That's still quite a bit of money, right? And then like set up something and then like, you know, we don't have to charge whatever. It just seems insane. We could go on all
that. It's really not that much money though these days. I mean, I feel like a developer is probably going to like want to make like $10 million. No. Which reminds me, when I was visiting New York City last week, I watched the OC with my friend Angela, and there's a moment at the first in the first season where Tate Donovan gets in trouble.
America's sweetheart,
Jennifer's ex-boyfriend, Jennifer Aniston, ex-boyfriend, also was on Friends right after they broke up. Apparently, it was very difficult for them to work together. Anyway, he has to borrow. You know, these people are living in like Malibu or I don't know, some fancy rich California town in the OC. And he's like, okay, I need to borrow $100,000 because I'm, you know, getting into a little bit of trouble. And my friend kept being like, that's not even like for these multimillionaires, like $100,000 is not like enough. Like he should have borrowed like $1 million. So then we looked up how much $100,000 was in like 2003, and it's only $160,000. So it's still not quite enough.
shoot your shot higher, Tate.
Tate, you got to get like 4 million.
Tate doesn't know his own value.
Kirsten is a bajillionaire, and she can give you way more than $100,000. Anyway, that's my little sidebar about how money isn't real.
Yeah, money is bad. Burn it. Ben Affleck? News?
Yeah, well, okay, so I know everyone was really worried about their relationship based on what we had been reporting on over the last couple of weeks, but things seem to be fine. They've been hugging in public. They have been having dinner in public. They were walking together and holding hands while Ben Affleck wore sneakers. They're packing on the PDA, according to geo.tv. What was the other one that I thought was really funny? Oh, okay, sorry. TMZ says, Ben Affleck looking chipper in Nikes next to J-Lo. Wow. I guess they're pointing out that he's wearing Nikes because he's in that new movie about...
Oh, the Jordan movie.
Michael Jordan or whatever.
He's playing Michael Jordan, right?
He is playing Michael B. Jordan, yes. there's also one that says... Ben Affleck speaks Spanish better than Jennifer Lopez.
Wow. Yeah, that's probably true, I'm sure. And what a great headline.
Is that true?
Of course. I mean, I can't imagine it's true. Why would anyone even print that, even if it was? It's so ridiculous.
Well, it's from like koimoi.com, and they're pretty on top of it. And
that
I mean,
is true.
Never heard of this website before, but I think that it's probably... So Ben Affleck's surprising Spanish accent has left fans in awe.
Uh-oh. Spaghetti-o.
That's pretty funny to me. His surprising Spanish accent.
Yeah, that's very surprising. I wonder if he speaks in a Spanish accent, like from Spain, like Catalonia, like, with the isp.
That would be great.
Let's hope. Right?
Yes, please. Can we please hope that that is true. Oh, also, okay, so I read a funny, I don't know why I was on so much food Instagram today, but I was. Infatuation posted like a kind of a bitchy review of Bad Roman, and everyone in the comments is like, oh my God, the tides are turning. Infatuation didn't post just a puff piece. And I just think it's funny because Bad Roman has been, you know, everyone's talking about it and it seems so stupid and lame there.
Yeah, it's everything that's wrong. And again, I feel like we're being very negative in this episode, but it's okay. It's okay. Just know we're not, like, this isn't the holistic picture of who we are, but we can complain sometimes. We can write actors sometimes.
Yeah, we can complain. There are some restaurants that we do like and there are some actors that we do like.
There are many actors. Dermot Mulroney isn't one of them, but Steve Buscemi is. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, Bad Roman, like, I don't, again, like, I would never talk shit on a restaurant where I felt like it was like a bunch of people like working their butts off and like trying to scrap by. This is a huge restaurant group. This is fair game to make fun of. And this is like everything that's wrong with dining in New York. This is everything that's wrong with like New York in general.
America.
America, everything. It's the like pinnacle of Instagram. Rome. This is what's wrong with Rome. And this is the only thing that's wrong with Rome. Other than that, I really like Rome. But this is really just like the rich lameness that rose to the top post-COVID and was obviously brewing even before, but kind of like the skooma, you know, when you like boil chickpeas and there's that scum that like floats up to the top.
Yeah.
That's this restaurant, this whole vibe. It's like no authenticity, gimmicky Instagram, like make it as expensive as possible. It's just stupid. And like, it's not good for anybody. It's not good for the people who work there, who go there, who fucking anything. It's bad. Bad,
yeah, bad. It's just kind of funny. Late stage capitalism and all that. Also, I just realized that you went through a Kardashians phase and therefore perhaps know about this woman on Instagram who does the Kardashian impersonations.
I do. She's amazing.
I love her so much. Her Kourtney is so good. And also, I, of course, love Khloé with the...
with the fingernails with the Post-its on them.
So good. I actually went through last night, instead of going to sleep, I went through all the videos like back to the beginning. And there was a time when Khloe Kardashian was commenting like on all of them.
Oh, really? It's really funny. It's like, she's really, really funny. I love watching her videos. I also, there's an Instagram that I've been loving that I just found, which I think it's called Sign Peaks. And it's like Seinfeld, but like a bunch of Seinfeld like scenes, but set to, oh my God, what's the woman's name? The star, the one who gets killed in the beginning of Twin Peaks?
Laura Palmer?
Laura Palmer. Like, you know, the music that plays when there's like a Laura Palmer scene? Mm-hmm. Like the music's different whenever, whatever. So anyway, it's all set to like Laura Palmer music. So it's like really serious. It's amazing. It's so fucking funny and perfect. Sign Peaks. Check it out.
I'll check it out. Okay.
Yeah, so good.
This episode is brought to you by Roberta's, home of Heritage Radio Network for 10 years. Roberta's was founded in Bushwick in 2008 and has become one of the most iconic restaurants in the country. HRN made its home inside of Roberta's in 2009, and together they have become part of the DIY fabric of the neighborhood. Roberta's, the pizza restaurant, is open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week and serves much more than just the famous wood-fired pizzas. Their team dreams up new salads, pastas, and sandwiches on the regular. Roberta's Tiki Bar is alive and well in the back garden, serving up frozen drinks in the summer and hot toddies in the winter. Stop by the bakery and takeout spot next door for fresh breads, sticky buns, and pizzas to go. But Roberta's also extends beyond Bushwick, with multiple locations in New York City and now in Los Angeles. You can also find their frozen pies in grocery stores around the country. The spirit of Roberta's, like Heritage Radio Network, is everywhere. Here's to many more years of pizza-powered radio. Learn more about Roberta's at robertaspizza.com.
Okay, so should we get into our topic for today?
Yeah, I hope it's a negative topic because I don't want to change the vibe too much.
Yeah, no, we're going to just talk about things we hate. Starting with buttered popcorn-flavored jelly beans.
Oh, those are fine.
Okay, now, actually, we're going to take a complete left turn, and this is a feel-good story, This is part two of Oceans. And so I heard this story.
Sorry. It's just funny.
And also, I want to apologize for last week's episode in which I joyously, triumphantly claimed that Zeus was my favorite thing about the ocean. I'm still ashamed about it.
Yeah, it's humiliating that we both thought that. But then we were like, wait, who is even the actual guy?
I know. Well, it's King Poseidon. Triton? It's Poseidon. Oh, right. Poseidon.
King Triton is like his son or whatever.
Exactly.
The Little Mermaid's dad is his son. So the Little Mermaid is his granddaughter.
It's Ursula. So I first heard this story actually on an episode of a little known podcast called My Favorite Murder. And Karen told it and it was a great story. And I really thought it was so interesting. And then I've kind of like heard murmurings of it since. But, you know, I figured for anyone who wanted to just hear it again, but told kind of shittily by me.
Yeah.
Poor research. But it was a really interesting story about the ocean. And it's an interesting story that kind of has to do with food because this person was a fisherman and like eats all kinds of like strange things. Okay, I'm going to tell you this story. And it is, I got my research today from an article in Slate by David Epstein called How I Survived 438 Days Adrift in the Pacific Ocean on Whoa. Shark liver, a pet bird, and an imaginary sex kept me going. An article in The Guardian by Jonathan Franklin called Lost at Sea, The Man Who Vanished for 14 Months.
Oh my God.
And those are my two big researchers. And of course, I like listened to My Favorite Murder episode, so credit there as well. Okay. The year is 2012. The month is November. The man is Jose Salvador Alvengra, and he's 33 years old at the time, and he's fishing for sharks in Mexico. That's kind of what he's done. He's a fisherman. He goes out for sharks. He normally takes like a small boat and a buddy, like who's his usual companion. And they go out in the Pacific Ocean for 2 or 3 days. They catch the sharks, they return them, and they sell them for 50 cents a pound.
Is that a good deal?
I don't know. I mean, I guess like if a shark is 200 pounds or something, then maybe you get
$100.
And
what was 50 cents like in the year 2012?
I don't know, but maybe down there, like the value of the dollar, you know, I don't know. It seems like not a lot, but we don't know.
There's no way to find
out. There's no way to find out any of this information. We just have to go strictly from the article. Let's not veer off course. Pun intended. Okay. So Alvengra's usual fishing partner, he couldn't make it this day. So he gets another guy, a 22-year-old rookie named Ezekiel, who really didn't have much experience, but he needed somebody and didn't think it was going to be a big deal. But so they go out. He was dead wrong. Starring Dermot Mulroney. Okay. As Jose Alvengra. I just want to make sure I'm like pronouncing this last name right. How would you pronounce this? A-L-V-A-R-E-N-G-A. Alvengra, right?
Sure. Don't know.
All right, I just want to make sure.
We should ask Ben Affleck.
That's true. Okay. All right, we're back. So anyway, they see the storm coming and they figure they can kind of like make it back in time. However, the waves get so big, they start to flood the engine and the the engine dies and they start to drift off, right?
That's not very cool.
It's one of my absolute worst fears ever. And like, I'm not someone who's like really afraid of the ocean. I mean, the thought of being kind of stranded at sea or floating in the middle of the ocean, not knowing what's under you is very scary.
Mm-hmm.
But like big waves and getting like capsized or having like, that's just like a terrible fear of mine. I think most people wouldn't like that really, unless you're Poseidon.
Right. So he'd be fine with it.
Yeah. Poseidon.
But he can breathe underwater. So for him, it's not like a big deal.
He is the water, man, and all the fish inside of it, too. He's God, man. It's God of the water.
Is he a merman? A merman?
He's a merman, baby.
A merman.
Little Austin Powers throwback for you kiddos.
Thank God.
He's a merman. Okay. So anyway, they get really like wrecked by the storm. The boat that they're on is about the size of like a big SUV.
Shit. I don't like this at all.
They have two safety features on this boat. The first one is a Ziploc bag to put in your cell phone in. And the other is a barrel in case the boat sinks, you grab onto the barrel.
Like in Jaws.
Right. Other than that, they have kind of nothing there. They have some matches. They have the clothes on their back and they have like a stick.
A stick?
A long stick, which actually you're going to find out comes in handy down the line.
Okay.
Okay. So they have a mirror.
And they hadn't caught any sharks yet, so they couldn't eat those.
Exactly. They have a mirror for shaving. They like put the mirror on the stick because they see like a cargo ship in the distance, but you know, they're really small in a cargo. They don't see them.
But don't they have the fishing equipment for fishing for the sharks?
I mean, I think that a lot of that stuff like flew off.
Okay.
They have very minimal amount of stuff with them. They have no electricity. They have no radio anymore. Everything is like fucked.
Damn, they lost the radio. That's pretty unchill.
Yeah.
They should have put the Ziploc baggie. They put the radio in there.
I know. That would have been smart. I don't know exactly what happened. I'm trying to picture. Did you see Triangle of Sadness?
I didn't even finish it. I didn't love it.
Oh, okay. I really liked it. But that second act with everybody like vomiting and falling all over each other on the ship is one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
I did like, yeah. But the actual second act where of the movie where they're on the beach.
And that was like more the third act, which I agree was less whatever successful.
They're just like really beating you over the head with. And I'm like, who's this even for? But anyway, go on.
Right. Okay. So anyway, it starts to rain a couple days later and they get saved by the rainwater because they thought they were just going to like die of thirst.
Yeah.
So they don't. They collect the rainwater. They find some bottles floating in the ocean. Thank you to everyone who's a polluter because otherwise these people would have been dead. They fill up like 72 little plastic bottles and the big
oil. 72 bottles floating in the ocean? That is fucked up.
And they fill up their 55-gallon oil drum that they had for floating. So they have a lot of water, which
that's a lot of rain.
Yeah. Jose says that he was so hungry that he was eating his own fingernails in little tiny pieces.
That's yucky.
He began to grab jellyfish and swallow them whole. Like they're like kind of really like flailing. And so he encourages his friend Ezekiel to do kind of the same thing. They drank urine. I don't know why they were drinking urine instead of drinking water, but maybe this was like before they realized they could drink the water, but anyway. They had no baiter hook, so they do
they just wanted to try it out.
Yeah, like, hey, like, what's this like? Maybe we'll get dry. I mean, I'm sure you get very bored just floating around there in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
So boring. That's the worst part, the boredom. actually, it's probably true. So they decide to fish. They don't have any equipment to fish. So they like kneel like at the edge of the boat and they scan for sharks and fish. And then he like basically just grabs them out of the water.
What? Yeah. Is that possible?
Yeah. Yep. Okay. He digs his fingernails into the fish, into the rough scales. A lot of them escape, but then he like kind of you just have all this time, right? So you finally kind of like figure out how to do it. And they have like a fishing knife, luckily, so they can like cut it up.
Right. They don't have to eat the fish whole, I would not like that.
Exactly. Like a pelican I saw this morning on Instagram.com. Mm. I was like, this pelican's going to die. The fish that it put into its mouth was the same size of the pelican itself. It was absolutely shocking.
Yeah, they're sort of built for that, though, so they're into it.
Yeah, it was really wild. So they're catching turtles. They're eating turtles. Apparently, turtles have, like, a lot of nutrients in the blood, so they're, like, drinking turtle blood that's giving them energy. They would cook the meat by letting it, like, lay in the sun. This sounds like you would maybe get sick from it. They ate little sharks. And then they stopped.
So they're just having a seafood fest.
Yeah, they're exactly. It's an unlimited all-you-can-eat seafood buffet, like Red Lobster, but with, like, less of those delicious little cheesy crackers or biscuits. So they start eating about 6 to 9 birds a day. They take the stick, right? And a bird would just land on the stick.
Birds are so stupid.
I know, birds are dumb. Then they'd like let it sit on the stick for like 5 minutes and get comfortable. And then grab it and like rip its head off essentially.
Huh. It's fine. I'm like, why didn't they cut its head off? But I guess it's alive still, so it's just easier to snap its little neck.
So they then like eat all these birds. So this is like, and then, okay, this is kind of like a little sidebar and then I'll get back into this bird thing. But so then they had like a styrofoam box and they just both like hide in this like little box all day so they wouldn't get like too sunburned.
The boat has no like underneath part?
No.
Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah. So anyway, they're like hallucinating. They're trying to pretend that the birds are other things. They're trying to, you know, just like keep each other from going totally insane or like jumping overboard.
Sure.
And Ezekiel was having like an even harder time with that. So Jose was he was older and he was kind of trying to like, you know, steer the ship, so to speak.
Yeah. This is just like Joe versus the Volcano when they're out on the luggage.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly like that or your favorite movie, Castaway, with that baseball or whatever.
Volleyball. It's a volleyball.
Okay. So, okay, this is really terrible. So like 6 to 10 weeks into the journey, it's like they think it's maybe Christmas, right? So they're like imagining it could potentially be Christmas. So they catch all these birds and try to celebrate for like Christmas to like eat all these yummy birds. So Ezekiel is eating a bird and all of a sudden he starts gagging and foam starts coming out of his mouth and he's getting very sick. And Jose can't figure out what's going on. So he like rips open the bird and realizes there's a snake in the bird's stomach. So like the bird had eaten like a poisonous snake and then it poisoned, poisoned Ezekiel when he went to go eat it. Right.
Oh my God. That's fucking crazy.
Right. So he like almost dies. He doesn't die, but then he like refuses to like eat ever again, basically. So he starves to death and he stays like Jose keeps him on the boat for like a while because it's his companion. He's like scared of pushing him off and he's hallucinating that he's alive. He's talking to the corpse. Like it gets pretty wild.
But he doesn't eat him.
He doesn't eat him. No.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. Eventually he pushes him over the edge and buries him at sea. So then what ends up being 14 months later, but he doesn't even really understand time anymore. He washes up on a tropical island.
My dream.
Right? Like similarly to Triangle of Sadness. And he washes up on shore of Tile Islet. It's a small island in the part of the Ebon Atoll on the southern tip of the island. And it's of the 1,156 islands that make up the Republic of the Marshall Islands, right?
Sure, so the Republic of the Marshall Islands. I totally know that.
Right, your favorite republic other than the Banana Republic. And one of the most remote spots on Earth. He was 6,700 miles away, and he had drifted for 438 days.
That is insane.
It is unconscionable. When I had COVID, I had to stay in the house for like 2 full days. And I thought I was going to like go out of my fucking mind. Right. Like it's just a real reminder of like what people can kind of endure and what tenderonis we all are, especially me. 438 fucking days on a boat floating in the middle of the ocean. That's fucking crazy. How's that
possible? I don't even know if I would like make it. I don't even know if I would want to, like, I don't know if I would want to eat a bunch of birds filled with snakes.
Exactly. Me neither. I have no survival instinct at all. I've said this before, but this is why I like never want to watch apocalypse stuff. Cause I'm like, I just wouldn't like make it in this time. Like I would just give up, you know?
Yeah.
So I have no survival instinct whatsoever.
Totally.
Okay. So he stumbles through, the like jungly undergrowth and he sees himself standing from like a small canal and he sees a beach house and these two people. And the people end up saying
he probably looked insane.
I'm sure. So they start to talk to him, right? They don't speak the same language, but they kind of like understood each other. And then they started to just like roar with laughter, right? And he said he was just like laughing and kind of feeling like just so wild about being saved. So 11 days go by. Doctors determine that his health has stabilized enough for him to travel home to El Salvador, where he'd be reunited with his family. So he gets strong enough and he goes back and he fulfills this promise to his, you know, his friend, Ezekiel's family, and his mother, Ana Rosa, and he sits with her and tells her all the things that, like, he had wanted him to convey.
Aww.
I know. So he's, like, very, very messed up from this. He, like, basically, yeah, like, can't sleep. He has nightmares.
Doesn't want to eat any seafood ever again.
Yeah, he never wants to have a chicken finger for the rest of his life or fish. He sticks strictly to beef and pork. But yeah, like, he just really went through such a traumatizing experience. And I think of, like, you know, things that I consider in my life to be traumatic. And then I think about this and I'm like, how could somebody ever decompress from this? This is such mania. It's almost like being, it's almost like tripping on acid for 14 months.
14 months is just, like, so long. Like,
I don't understand.
It's
wild.
It's and really, not to really talk wild to anyone or anything. Yeah.
It's unbelievable. So a year later, the fog of confusion kind of subsides and he scans the map of his drift across the ocean and he begins, like, to kind of understand some of this and that he really was gone for that long, that he lived on the edge of sanity. And he says, quote, I suffered hunger, thirst, and extreme loneliness, and it didn't take my life. You only would get one chance to live, so appreciate it.
Aww.
That is the story of Jose Alvengra and his 438 days lost at sea.
That is crazy.
Isn't that so wild? It's the most nuts story, like, I've ever heard. I just can't even, like, I can't believe that it's true, that that happened. It's so stressful to think about. But anyway, it did happen, and it brings me to want to ask you, if you had to be stranded somewhere for 14 months, where would it be?
Stranded by myself?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I would have to be somewhere that had, I mean, I don't want to be stranded anywhere, like, but I would need to be stranded in, like, a nice beach house.
Like a nice hotel.
An infinity pool. Yeah, like, maybe if, like, the apocalypse happened and I'm, like, just randomly down in Florida on the coast and I've got, like, this sick beach house that everyone has, you know, no one died in there because they weren't down there during the apocalypse. That would be fine.
Because I was listening to this other story, actually, My Favorite Murder, about this woman who got stranded. It was, like, a plane crash and she, like, fell out, like, of the plane. Completely unscathed, right?
That's insane. Like,
in her seat still. And crashed in the jungle. But she had, like, survival skills because she had grown up kind of in the jungle. Her parents were, like, researchers. And
yeah, so I would not make, like, it in the jungle at all.
Crashed in the jungle. And, like, I've heard other stories of people who were, like, lost in the jungle and just kind of, like, lived. It's just, like, so wild to think that. I don't know that people really do that kind of thing. I mean, I guess, you know, like, life finds a way.
I mean, I don't even know how to, like, clean or gut a fish. And I definitely don't know which things are poisonous or not poisonous. So I don't think I would last very long out there in the jungle or anywhere, even just the woods with only a mile surrounding me.
The woods? I know. That's the thing. And actually, it's funny because you were talking about yellow jackets. I feel like that has, obviously, that has a similar vibe to it. I feel like, why didn't they find them? That couldn't, were they really that in the middle of nowhere? No one could find them.
Well, it was the 90s. So, you know, no cell phones.
You know what other show I'm watching that has, like, a lot of, like, 90s, early 2000s music in it, but I like the show and I haven't finished it. So maybe I don't fully understand why it has this soundtrack that it does. Cause it doesn't take place in the 90s. It takes place in modern day. Beef. Have you watched it?
Beef?
Yeah.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, it's like this new Ali Wong show. It's very good. But yeah.
Oh, where they like fall in love with each other?
No, they like fight each other. They're like adversaries because they
become obsessed with each other.
Yeah.
That's what she said in the preview I watched yesterday.
They become obsessed with each other.
Well, the reason why they have 90s music in there is because they are pandering to you.
Yeah. It doesn't really work though. It's like kind of like not even 90s. It's like early 2000s, like Incubus and stuff, which did never really spoke to me in the first place. So I'm not really getting much out of it, but the show is good.
Yeah.
The show is really good. It's really fun and really well acted and very, very, very good. I really like it.
Is also, it on Netflix?
Yeah, it's on Netflix. I want to say one other thing. Listen to this. This is just like a random life thing that happened. I went to Nighthawk to see Scream the other night. And like, okay, so I had been walking home from work on Friday night. I put a bottle of wine in my bag. It spilled all over my bag. So I had
my greatest fear besides.
I even wrapped it in plastic. I think actually the plastic was the part that made it break. Cause then whatever, the plastic wrap like broke the cork. So my bag, it was white wine and it's a black bag, but I just like had to take everything out of it and, you know, bring it to the laundromat. But so I like on Friday when I went to the movie or Saturday, I like had my my sunglasses just like in my pocket in their case. And I got home yesterday morning. I'm like, oh my God, my sunglasses are gone. And like, I'm not someone who has a lot of like nice things, but I did buy nice sunglasses because my little ojos need good protection. They're too sensey. So I have a pair of Ray-Bans and I called the movie theater and left a message and they had them and they held on to them for me. Nighthawk, Prospect Park. So nice, right?
That is nice. Yeah. That wouldn't happen in Williamsburg.
I know. So unexpected. I'm like, you guys found these like sunglasses and you just like put them in your lost and found. Like, that's very sweet. And so Nighthawk, Prospect Park, you guys are good people. Thank you for doing that.
That is it really true cool. That they don't have tater tots anymore?
I don't know. We didn't get tater tots. We got just old fashions. And I had two and I was like pretty drunk actually when I was leaving.
In the dark. It's scary.
Yeah, I was a little drunk, but in a good way. It was fun. I hadn't been to that Nighthawk and I really liked it. It was a good time.
I like that one. I like both of them. I was going to maybe go to the Nighthawk when I was in town, but I just didn't have any time to do anything at all.
I barely even saw you.
I also, I had to stop by Zara's workplace and scandalize her coworkers because I was drinking wine during the day. But I also forgot to tell you that I ran into another person at the grocery store yesterday.
Who?
All the way on the south side, my friend Will, who you do not know because he lives in Indiana. I was on the south side because my parents live on the south side and I was stopping by my dad's house to make him dinner because my stepmom's out of town. And he was like, hey, and I just didn't even register because I did not expect to see anyone that I know in that grocery store. And I was like, why are you at this grocery store? And he's like, oh, and my parents live on the south side too. And I was like, oh, okay, well, bye. And we both ran away.
That's all you can do. And you run into, unless you run into like one of your best friends, right? Mm-hmm. You have to run away from the person in the grocery store.
Yes.
It's too uncomfortable.
It was fun that we mutually ran away from each other. I appreciated that. He didn't even introduce me to who I assume is his brother because he has like 8 siblings. I think that was his, but he didn't even introduce me to his brother. And I was like, this is perfect. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Absolutely. Well, should we, and this is going to be a little bit of a short epi, but should we talk about some of our, last week we talked about our favorite things from the ocean.
Yes.
Should we talk about our least favorite things from the ocean since we're negative today?
Okay. So yeah, but you have to go first.
Okay. That trash island, that's like a big island made of trash, like that's just collected in the ocean.
That's not from the ocean. That's from the disgusting humans.
I know, but it's in the ocean. It's in the ocean. It's like not my favorite thing. Bologna oysters.
I don't know what those are.
They're like an oyster that is French and it's like a big giant oyster and they're like always very expensive and they taste like sewage. They're very disgusting. I don't think anyone likes them. And if you say you like them, you're lying. And I guess my number one least favorite thing from the ocean is it's right on the tip of my tongue. I feel like I've got it.
No, that's not making that sound.
I guess the least favorite thing from the ocean is the movie The Perfect Storm.
Oh, I love that movie. Or do I? I don't really remember it. It is the only movie where George Clooney dies. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, that's upsetting.
Oh no, he also dies in that space movie. Spoiler alert.
He dies in every movie. He's been dead the whole time.
Yes, dead and loving it. My least favorite things from the ocean are, I guess, oil tankers.
Yeah, bad. Pirates.
No, pirates are good.
Are they? We're like pro-pirate.
If you're robbing, like, a capitalism ship, if you're robbing, like, an innocent fishing guy, that's bad. But why? What do pirates even do? I don't really understand.
I guess we shouldn't say we don't like them because we don't have enough information. They seem in some way that they could be doing the Lord's work.
Yeah, I'm fine with pirates. They seem cool. I like when people steal.
Yeah, that is good.
Pirates. Cruise ships also seem to be bad. Yeah, although if someone gave me a free cruise, I would go on it.
I don't think I would do it.
Yeah, I would go. And then I also don't like...
You don't like shrimp.
I don't like shrimps. That's true. I'm not a big fan.
You hate shrimp, in fact.
Well, I will eat a shrimp. Like, I ate the shrimps when we went to the steakhouse in Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You did.
If it calls for a celebratory moment of shrimp cocktail, I'll eat it. I actually prefer the shrimp cocktail shrimp. Is that raw? I don't really know.
No, it's not raw, but it's cold. So it's not like hot, rubbery shrimp.
It's cold and not too rubbery, but still kind of rubbery in a way that I dislike. Just like lobster. Gross.
Well, folks, thank you for tuning in to our Complain Fest 2023. I always wanted to start a late night talk show called That Really Gets My Goat, where I just complain the whole time and my co-host is just like a goat. My Ed McMahon is a goat. But I never did it because I'm trying to be more posy, but it's okay. It's all right. Yeah. Next week, we're going to come back with an episode all about sunshine or World War One, but either way, it's going to be positive vibes only.
Yeah. Toxic positivity coming at you.
Exactly. Toxy-posy. All right, folks. Hasta la pasta.
Bye-bye.
Life's a Banquet is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.
Hey, it's Francis Lam, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking, and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.